AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional.
Oh,
confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, that's what this is. Welcome one and all to the very excellent, universally loved, recognized, I think around the world, or when world leaders get together at the G9 and the G26, they go, number one podcast, the Confessions podcast from Greatest Hits Radio.
That's first order of business, is it? When they walk through the door, can we just agree on what's the best podcast? And they say, oh yes, Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
If you get a lip reader to watch the Trump-Starmer press conference from whenever it was.
Whenever it was,
they're talking about how do you download the latest.
How do you, though?
You just go to wherever you get your podcast.
Correct, easy.
Well,
that was a throwback there.
Anyway, Sister Susie, she's actually in the studio, but she has a pub aura about her always.
Always.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Brother Matthew is always live from his gutter.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Susie, Sister Holly is not here. Due to being, well, she said she's sick, you know, so.
Slacking, something like that,
probably
I was always
something
saying.
Something like that, but we obviously should be listening to this.
Obviously she will.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we send her our warmest greetings. Anyway, and she's handed over the keys of the tack cupboard to Sister Susie. So
I have.
Basically, everyone's going to get to mark this.
Yeah!
Yes!
In this podcast, we're going to gather around the parish notice board, obviously, to read your glowing five-star reviews and correspondence. We'll head to the back of the hall to sneak a look at the not-for-broadcast section. And as ever, the main event, all the confessions from this week's Drive Time show. What a show that is on Greatest Hits Radio. What a station that is. Ugh. Including Taz's motorbike prank, Born to be Wild. Matthew's drunken antics with a little bit of celebrity garnish in there. That's abracadabra. Sir's confession, wild about daddy cool. That's sir as in a teacher.
Sir. Yes, all right, sir. Yeah, teacher. Yeah.
In case you're wondering.
Got it.
But we start with a very recent confession. In fact, it was only committed last month. It's Andy's confession. You're the voice.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Andy. Just made that
you
up.
Sure?
No, yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. Let's call him Andy.
Yeah.
Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sisters Susie and Holly, often your confession relates to events from many years ago, decades even. Different times is what you say, particularly Matt.
Yeah.
Well, that does not apply to this one. I would like to confess to my sins that happened on the 26th of August, 2025.
Oh.
So this is probably the freshest sin in your pile of misdeeds. That's true. That's true, I think. Under a month back. So not really different times. Exactly the same times.
Same times, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Same times.
My wife and I are currently on holiday in Jersey, and we decided to hire a small electric vehicle through an app. And the vehicle had a name, which apparently was Debbie. This seemed a good name, a solid name. Deborah, I'd have preferred, like the T-Rex song. But we were happy and we had no choice in the matter. The name of the car was Debbie. Well, wonder of wonders, the car turned out to be voice activated. We hadn't hired a new car for years and we marveled at all the improvements. Once we had registered the vehicle, every time we approached, we had to say, "Hi, Debbie," and the car would open.
Wow.
On leaving, we had to say, "Goodbye, Debbie," and the vehicle would lock. This was a wonderful innovation. I always used to name my cars, so this came naturally to me. Did you ever name your car?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Susie, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. "Cars have personalities," says Andrew. Don't you find?
No.
Well, our Debbie was an absolute charmer. My wife really took to this sequence as we unlocked and locked the vehicle. "Hi, Debbie." Unlock. "Goodbye, Debbie." Lock. This was incredible. At one point, however, we were parked next to an identical vehicle. We were side by side, so we had to be careful. You don't want to unlock the wrong car, do you? Not as risky as unlocking the wrong caravan, maybe, but we still had to be very, very careful. I checked the instructions, and I told my wife to get really close to the radiator grill and whisper, "Hi, Debbie." And then the right car would open.
Yeah.
Once we finished with the vehicle, mm-hmm. the final command was, "Thank you for today, Debbie." The vehicle locked and sent us an email confirming that we had completed our journey and sent the invoice via email. What a world we live in, Father Simon, when we can talk to cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here is my confession.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can see this coming. You can't talk to cars.
No.
Every time my wife spoke to Debbie, the car, I used the app to lock and unlock the vehicle. She doesn't know this. It was very simple, really, but enormous fun. My wife still believes that this is like a mechanical Dr. Doolittle. He spoke to animals. My wife talks to cars. He talked to tigers. We had discussions with Debbie. She now wants a new car so she can talk to it. Help, says Andrew. Anyway, just from a couple of weeks ago, how about that? A very, very fresh confession indeed. Let's see where we go with Suze. What do you say to Andrew for... Basically, playing a prank on his wife, which is ongoing.
Well, do you know what? I normally don't like pranks, as you know.
Yes.
But this did make me laugh. Very, very funny. I have named cars in the past. I used to have a Corsa, which I called Cornelius.
Okay.
And he was very fun. But I just love the idea of particularly getting very close to the grill at the front and chatting away. And, you know, you never know. Maybe they will be talking, but even changing it on an app is pretty cool, isn't it? That's yep. new. I had a new car recently and you have to start it with a button, and that's quite fantastic for me. And I just think it's no harm done, is it? I'm sure his wife would have laughed along, so I'm feeling in a generous mood. I'm okay. going to forgive.
I name my cars after Roman emperors.
Oh, do you? Do you really?
No, I used to. I used to back in the day. Augustus
Tiberius.
You didn't
really? What? Yeah, I did. After Roman emperors?
Yeah, well, I quite liked High Claudius at the time. So
I see.
Anyway.
Augustus.
I've grown out of that. Matthew, what do you say to Andrew?
Yes, what a revelation. I am going to forgive. Because it was a great prank, wasn't it? Having your wife whisper into the radiator grill. Very funny.
She's
indeed.
The car whisperer.
Indeed. And how has she not worked that out? But you know, I'm not saying that she's not bright, but I very much am. So, you know, everyone had a laugh in the end, and I'm sure she found it funny when she finds out. So, for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confession.
Now, I think, obviously, you were full of derision about...
you naming your cars after Roman emperors.
But it only
excellent.
Now I think of it, it was certainly Augustus and then Tiberius, but then the next one, I think, is Caligula. So I didn't fancy that.
Oh, right,
much.
Okay.
So I think I...
So you were going to do it in order? You were going to keep going?
Augustus, then Tiberius, then Caligula, then it's Claudius, and then I can't remember, but...
When's Nero? Where's he on the line?
I think he's after Claudius.
Oh, right, okay. So why did he...
Played by Christopher Biggins in the TV version.
Christopher Biggins, of course.
Played Nero, can you imagine?
Yes.
Anyway,
no,
what a strange thing. Anyway, on the people's verdict, you know, predictably Matt liked this.
And Adam from Litchfield has definitely forgiven. After all, no harm done. And I'm sure when his wife finds out, he won't get a grilling...
Grilling! Oh dear.
Because of the grill.
Yes. I like the way you
grilling.
Kind of...
Yeah.
You kind of...
It's a little signpost for the fans of a pun. They know it's coming.
Here
they
it
go,
comes.
Oh, here we go. Everyone be quiet. Matt's about to do a pun.
He's got a silly voice
so
on.
Good. Yeah.
Next up is Parish Notice Board, where the drawing pins might be a little rusty, but the praise is polished. Here we go, Matt. What do you find for us?
Yes, so bring forth the 5-star reviews, and particularly any that praise me to the skies. So Megan says, 5 stars. My absolute favourite podcast. It never fails to make me laugh. Stuart, also a real name, says 5 stars, 555 stars
wow.
to the cathartic confessional connective. Yes. Been a listener since the very early days, even before The Dark Place. So long ago, I remember the switch to FM being a big thing.
Yes, Radio 1, that
indeed.
Is.
Indeed. Yep. Long may you continue. Thank you all.
So hang on, we've got, so there's Megan, ordinary name. Yep. Stuart, ordinary name.
Darren, ordinary name. Uh-huh. Five stars.
Hat trick.
Yeah. Darren says, Matt is correct. Like this already. Well done, Darren. You can fight fire with fire. I knew it. Red Adair was an American firefighter who used explosives to extinguish the oil field fires in Kuwait during the First Gulf War. He also extinguished several other oil well fires during his long career, including the Piper Alpha disaster. P.S. Five stars and Matt for next Pope. Excellent. Apparently, that is that how it works? As if you know about fighting fire with fire, you're
you
in line
the Pope.
To be Pope. But good news, well, I mean, I'll take either.
No, what Darren is saying is explosives.
Explosives.
Not quite the same.
I'm pretty sure it is the same. Yeah.
No, you blow something up, obviously the fire will disappear, but I'm talking about fire.
Tell that to Red Adair. Wouldn't it be great if Red Adair was here now and would say, Matt, let me take this. You're
I've
absolutely right about the fire with fire.
Hold my pint.
Hold my pint. I know all about it.
Anyway,
hold
Janine on. Also got in touch to say fire can be used to fight forest fires.
Yes.
This is a
another one.
This is the first one because yours was just
yours
explosive.
Explosives.
Brilliant. Yes.
Yeah. Albeit with a certain amount of risk, a controlled burn of a strip of forest will create a barrier to an oncoming forest fire as it will use up the available fuel.
Available fuel. That's what I was thinking.
I'm not sure. I don't think you're going to burn
me
in this day and age. All encompassing phrase.
Yeah.
You're not going to burn a bit of forest, are you?
Well,
chop it down if you want.
Literally, we've just had facts there that prove me right.
We've just got Janine.
Set, it's almost as
wow.
If Matt knows what he's talking
Matt
about.
Matt doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Love it.
I don't think you're going to burn a bit of wood.
I don't think I'm going to burn a bit of wood.
No.
To stop a fire.
Well, forests, you know, they're getting smaller, aren't they? So you're not just going to take some out just to...
If you want a fire break, chop the trees down. You don't burn the trees.
But the important thing is we didn't start the fire, you know. We just... I've forgotten the rest of the thing. Marilyn Monroe,
it's always burning since the world's turning.
World's been turning.
Back to the notice board.
Something in the Congo.
What have you selected from the notice board?
I've got this from Emily, who says, Dear Father Simon and the Pious Posse, hello from New York City. While I discovered your podcast only relatively recently through Father Simon's delightful film podcast, I've spent many hours listening to all of the back catalogue currently available. You have considerably brightened my daily commute and my work day, and for that, I'm very grateful. Mm-hmm. I wish that I could come to you with a confession, but the truth is, I'm very rarely naughty, or at least rarely naughty in any way that is both amusing and broadcastable.
Okay.
So instead, I find myself begging for some tat. You see, while I'm currently living in America, where I was born and raised, I got married to a Brit a few months ago.
Well done.
Just last week, my spousal visa was approved. I will soon be moving to the UK to join my husband after 3 years of a long-distance relationship. Obviously, this is happy news, but it's also a scary and stressful time. I promise I'm not just sucking up when I say that one thing I'm looking forward to is listening to your programme live each day rather than only catching the Friday podcast. I am currently in the process of mercilessly going through my belongings to see what makes the cut for bringing with me. I will be getting rid of almost all of my kitchenware.
Ah.
So, oh, what joy if I could arrive at my husband's house to have a mug waiting for me. Even if this is not deemed worthy, I genuinely want to thank you for all the laughter you have given me. Much love, Emily.
Emily, thank you very much. And Emily has emailed the film show. We've had a couple of emails from her, which is a lovely thing. So, yes, so she's coming over. So I would think, also, the absence of Holly, we'd just say yes, can't we?
Yeah, I'm going to give her a mug.
Very good. She's given a very good reason there, I think. You know, coming over here, doesn't have any cooker.
But I'm sure her husband has mugs in his house. But I'm going to glance over that.
Can't really cook with a mug, can you?
Give her a mug.
Cup of soup, something like that. Anyway.
Anyway, Emily, thank you very much indeed. You're very welcome. Yes. You can also listen on the radio app wherever you are in the world, I think. Yes, I think you can.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Anyway, it might be that you have to have a UK email. That's what I'm thinking. So maybe
a UK email.
Yes.
How do they know? Oh, this is probably for off air. But you can't possibly tell that, can you?
If you've got yes, you can.
My email doesn't say anything about the UK.
Everyone knows, though.
Everyone knows, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, they know.
Anyway.
They know.
Emily, you're the very people. Welcome. We'll send something to your husband and then you can claim it as yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might not get here before she arrives. I don't know when that is. But
so we're not going to send it to New York, though, are we?
No, no, no.
So
it's going to come to the UK, but, you know.
She's coming to the UK.
Yes.
That's what I understood. So well done, Matt. Again.
She'll land and the first thing she'll say is,
"Where's
my
mug?
It's very nice to see you, husband, but
husband, yeah.
What I need is a mug."
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, Emily, thank you very much indeed. Keep your additions to the parish notice board coming. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Couple of mentions to Paul Frame, Peter, someone, Janine Moore, Scragmeister, Maria and Liam J. Meller, who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, $3,000 for a dog. Where Matt was showing off what he didn't know about dog prices.
Showing off.
Yes.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast because that's the way it works.
Yes.
Joy.
So having fortified ourselves with all the glowing feedback, let's switch off the fairy lights and step back into the darkest of dark places. Yes, it's the Not For Broadcast, Mark Knopfler section for those confessions that are too rude, too reckless or too illegal to make it onto the radio. But, you know, we can broadcast them on this podcast.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Kind of.
Nigel.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel. Telling us in detail about how a little Westie dog Angus has interrupted your night of passion with your mate's sister by popping his very cold, wet nose in a very unmentionable place.
Oh.
And then licking said unmentionable place.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. What? I'm never getting one.
Well, we could have done that, couldn't we?
No.
Okay. I mean, we would have done it in a tasteful way, would we?
Very, very tasteful.
Yes.
If a dog's nose up the jacks, he can never be considered.
Already. Anyway. Already this has been Nigel. Taken out.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking of the secret code phrase.
Of
but anyway,
course, yes.
Do carry on.
I wonder what that'll be.
And Bill the bass player, your tale about the late night snack bar in Glasgow, the descending bogey of the burger flipper, and how you let the rest of the band go for a double stacked burger while you escaped with just a Mars bar on multiple trips was just disgusting.
Yeah.
So how's he managing that? That doesn't make any sense.
So Bill the bass player noticed that
yeah.
The person making the
yeah
burgers. Had got a runny nose.
Yeah. So he didn't
onto the hot plate.
Why didn't why?
Yeah,
Bill. I hope they chuck you out of the band once.
Yeah,
they found
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not getting on.
Nope.
But
anyway, thank you very much indeed for sending them in. Let's rejoin the sunlight though, and let's get another tale on. This time it's Taz's Australian adventure, Born to Be Wild.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So today's confession comes from Tez. Thanks, Tez, for this tale. Father Simon and the Forgiving Fraternity. I would always drink responsibly, by the way, is a general word of advice, always.
Yeah. Good sign.
Particularly for this confession.
Okay.
I would like to tell you about a day in my life back in 1989 when I was a mere babe of 22, which, at the grand old age of 59 now, has been playing on my mind, and maybe my confession might alleviate the feelings of guilt that I retain from the following events. When I hit the age of 17 in 1983... I discovered what has been one of my lifelong passions, motorbikes. Living in a suburb of North Liverpool in 1983 didn't give me a lot of options for like-minded fellow female biker friends to choose from. So when I did meet a group of lady bikers one weekend from Cumbria, we immediately became firm friends. And for the following few years, I religiously rode up to the Lake District every Saturday night after work to meet up with them, ride our bikes, and generally have a great time.
Okay.
Fast forward a few years, and by now I'm travelling around Australia with my working visa and a Z650 Kawasaki.
I'd managed to blag my way into being head barmaid at the Crossing Inn, an outback motel and bar in the middle of the Kimberleys in north/western Australia, one of the remotest, least populated areas even for Australia. As you can imagine, a town, in inverted commas, of this size, populated by about 40 regular people. Sure, what regular people? Anyway, just 40 people. Motel bar workers, a small clinic, a shop and a gas station. There basically wasn't a lot to do on your day off. Now, I kept in touch with my best friend, Joe, who lived in Dalton-in-Furness at the time, about once a month just to catch up and tell her what I was up to, as I'd already been travelling for about 7 months before I arrived in Australia. So one day when I was off, after a couple of early morning Fosters, really? I decided to call my mum at home, and the first thing she said to me was how clear and quick the line was, and that I sounded like I was calling from next door. Aha, I thought. So then I called my friend Joe. As per usual, the conversation started with her saying, "Where are you now, then?" Well, Father Simon, I don't know quite what happened with my reply, but the lovely clear line, the several early Fosters, had had their effect, and I replied, "Oh, I'm back home in Liverpool." Yeah. She was gobsmacked. She said, "When? Why?" So I elaborated with a load of old tosh about me being homesick, how I missed the English climate. I told her that I was borrowing my ex-boyfriend's motorbike and coming up to visit her that night.
What?
So roll forward about an hour, and I'm now on the Aussie Whites by now. Google it, she says. So I did Google Aussie Whites, and this is, I think, Yates's original Australian white, which is with added grape brandy.
Oh, okay.
An Aussie White is also a type of sheep, but I don't think she's referring to that.
No.
So I'm now on the Aussie Whites, and I ring her again to tell her that I have broken down in Burton Services, which is the last services on the M6 if you're travelling from Liverpool to Dalton, about 35 miles from where she lived. I tell her I'll ring her back shortly after an update when I've spoken to the breakdown guys. Then I advance onto the Bundaberg Rum and subsequently completely forgot that I was having all this fun winding up my friend back in England. It wasn't until the following day that my mum managed to get hold of me, and she told me what had transpired after the last time I spoke to my friend Joe. When Joe didn't get another call back, she called about six mates until she found one who could lend her a trailer. She then drove with the trailer to Burton Services, where she spent 2 hours asking every breakdown AARAC guy, "Where is the blonde on the Z1300? Have you seen her?" After 2 hours, she gave up and rang my mum. "Hi, Val, have you spoken to Tez?" "Yes, early. Is everything okay?" "Well, I don't know if you know, but she's broken down on the M6. "I don't think so. She's in Australia." "I suppose you do know that, don't you?" "No, she got home last week." "No, I can tell you she's in Australia." By this time, as we say in Australia, she must have had a few kangaroos loose in the top paddock. Good expression. I mean, she was going crazy.
Oh, right. Okay.
She was totally ropeable, which I imagine means...
Ropeable?
Ropeable, yeah.
Okay.
Getting really
translation
mad.
For all of this. Yeah.
Father Simon, I don't actually seek forgiveness from Joe. Trust me, she's more than made up for my trick on her. I hope she writes to you soon. We'll look forward to that. But I do need to ask for forgiveness for taking up too much time from all the breakdown guys that might have been spending time looking out for me rather than attending to someone in need. Lots of love from Tez. Well, you can see that if you've been on Foster's, then Aussie White, which I've never had.
And the Bundaberg Rum.
And the Bundaberg Rum, which I've never had either.
No, I imagine
it's very good.
Yeah.
That makes for an interesting day off in remote Oz. But maybe some problems, I think, if you're a very earnest and important breakdown person. Anyway, let's check in with Sister Sue, see what she wants to say to Tez.
Yeah, Tez, I don't know, maybe I'm the fun police here because I feel like maybe you were just having a nice day off and obviously you found it hilarious. But, you know, your friend was genuinely concerned for you. And I think it just comes down to the fact that I don't really like pranks. So I don't think I'm going to forgive you, I'm afraid.
Okay, Sue's getting totally ropeable there.
She was. I'm always getting ropeable.
Yeah. Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. And the reason is that, you know...
Think of something.
I don't understand. I mean, normally I'm in favour of pranks, but this one, I didn't see what the point was. What was the point in saying that you're going to be coming up the M6 and then and then not being there, it just didn't make any sense to me. But so, you know, she'd been on the on the Aussie Whites and the Brandenburg Rum, and everything else was going well for her. So you know, we've all learned a lesson, haven't we, about not breaking down on the M6? And I am all in favour of that.
Yes.
So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Have you ever had a few kangaroos loose in your top paddock?
I am, only when I get ropeable, though.
Okay, yes. All right. We've learnt an awful lot.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
You said you normally like pranks, but you normally don't like pranks.
No, I do. Sometimes I like them and sometimes I don't. It's very, very difficult to be defined.
Always disapproving.
You don't like pranks.
No, but sometimes I do.
No, you don't.
And then sometimes I don't. Mm. So it's interesting, isn't it?
It's almost like you don't know what you're talking about.
Because you've always hated pranks.
It's very inconsistent.
Anyway, making no sense.
Yep.
No forgiveness on the people's verdict for Tez, including this one from a fellow biker.
And Banachek, who's also a motorbiker, said, that's the sort of stroke to pull on a mortal enemy, not a friend, definitely not forgiven, angry face emoji.
Well, thank you very much indeed for sending in all the different verdicts. Thank you for the confessions. If something occurs to you, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Still to come, there's a confession with a very famous pop star.
Ooh,
I wonder who it can be. Yeah. Mm. It's Matthew's tale, Abra Abra Kadabra. But first, it's Sir's confession, which is called Wild About Daddy Cool.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's confession comes from Sir, because he's an English teacher, so we're just going to call him Sir. Dear brother Matthew,
yes, good work.
The Sisters of No Mercy and our very reverend Father Simon. I'm an English teacher, and I have a love for the varied and wonderful vocabulary that makes up our English language. In lessons, I like to demonstrate the meanings of words with real-life stories that pupils might relate to and remember. For example, I was born in the mid-70s, grew up in the 80s. That instilled in me a love of the Star Wars movies, Chewbacca and Darth Vader, practically childhood friends. When the Disney Star Wars films started coming out, I lapped them up, seeing them multiple times. One of these was the Origins film of lovable rogue Han Solo. When it was released, I went and saw it with my family. Then I saw it again with my friend, and then for a third time, on my own. I tell my pupils this story because the third visit was a Thursday evening, the final showing of the movie before it was replaced by something else the following day. In that showing, that evening, I was the only person in that particular cinema. I was, therefore, watching a film called Solo whilst on my own.
Oh, wow.
Good. Solo. Mm. This I like to demonstrate to my pupils in my English lessons is irony.
Is it?
I don't think it is. Isn't irony supposed to be like using words to mean the opposite of what people...
10,000 spoons were not...
None of those were ironic either.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, sir. It is with this in mind that I share with you a true little tale in the hopes of using it to explain further new terminology to my dear pupils. First, some background. In our home, I sort out the bins each week, deal with the bills, do the DIY. My wife does all the food shopping and cooking. Cooking really is not for me. I burn toast. One Thursday, sometime last year, I was listening to Nigel Barden making something far beyond my wildest capabilities. He inspired me that evening, and I decided to make family dinner. This was something I had never done before, but it would be a unique surprise for when my family returned home from the weekly shop. I couldn't do what Nigel was doing, but I looked through my wife's cookbooks and found something that seemed easy. It had a lovely posh name, but it was basically potatoes, tomatoes, onions and cheese. I knew what those ingredients were, and I decided to have a go. As I looked through the cupboard, I realised that we were low on ingredients, hence why my wife was out shopping at this very moment. But inspired, I thought I could make a clever substitution or two and everything would be fine. I needed potatoes. Couldn't find any, but it was a bag of Southern Fried Curly Fries in the freezer.
Okay.
I defrosted them in the microwave and mashed them up. I required a tomato. Sadly, our fridge was bereft of physical tomatoes, but we did have some ketchup. I substituted the tomato for a big splodge of ketchup. Next, I required an onion. With no onions in the house, there was half a jar of Christmas pickled onions. Pickled onions. I've often used the phrase, enough is enough in class, and figured that by that logic, whether pickled or not, an onion is an onion. I threw a few in.
A few?
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
Finally, I needed grated cheese. Coming up short again, I used some thinly cut plastic cheese slices.
Wow.
After figuring out how to switch the oven on, I popped my creation in and let it cook for 20 minutes. No. My wife and kids arrived home as I was removing my creation. They were quietly impressed by the oniony aroma that filled our kitchen. Expectations were very high as I was dishing out, but unsurprisingly, the end result didn't quite deserve them. It didn't look anything like the picture. It certainly didn't taste as the book's author had described. In fact, it was declared a monstrosity, utterly disgusting, and quite possibly the worst meal ever prepared by anyone. My brief enthusiasm for cooking quietly ended. Now, referring back to my job as an English teacher and my joy of using real-life examples to explain meanings of words in class, I come to the ultimate point of this sorry tale. I hope to use my tame efforts to explain a new word to my pupils, that word being meta. How, I hear you ask? Well, I would like to request forgiveness for my ill-judged cooking, but not for me. No, if we think about who is ultimately responsible for my shambles, one could argue that it's Nigel Barden for making it sound all too easy on the radio. True. But I feel the real blame should go further still. The blame should ultimately go back to the Reverend Simon himself. I'm sure it was Simon's idea to get Nigel onto the show all those many years ago. Thus, it is Simon's fault that Nigel inspired me to create the failure that was my family's dinner. And therefore, I am putting it to Reverend Simon to seek forgiveness for the Reverend Simon from the Reverend Simon. And that, Year 11, is what we term meta.
Meta, yes.
Add this to the back of your books next to the explanation of irony, which I think was a little bit off, to be perfectly honest. I don't think it was ironic at all.
No,
because he'd been listening too much to Alanis Morissette.
Yeah,
Sister Suze, what do you say to Sir?
Well, I am not going to forgive or not forgive Father Simon. I'm going to go back to Sir. And I just, it sounds like a monstrosity you're making. It basically was mushy, loaded fries with
ketchup.
Plastic cheese on ketchup on. It sounds disgusting. And just pay attention, really. You don't try and cook something if it's not, if you haven't got the ingredients. And, you know, maybe follow one of Nigel's recipes once you've bought the ingredients and you'll know what you're doing. And maybe that's not the point of it. But either way, I don't forgive you.
Go down the chippy, that's what everyone else would have done.
Yes.
Brother Matthew.
I mean, I'm going to forgive, because which of us can honestly say we've never, you know, done the substitute thing in a recipe?
Not like
I
that.
Do it all the time. I haven't got any macadamia nuts, I'll use some chocolate. I haven't got any pecans, I'll use some chocolate. I haven't got any sausages. The list goes on. So, I'm a big fan of any confessions that put Nigel and Simon in the dock. Very big fan of that. Let's have loads more of those, please. So, yes, definitely forgiven. Very meta. Well done.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Matthew.
Oh.
Father Simon and the Papal Posse. My confession goes back to the early 1990s, a time when it was okay to laugh along to stories about goats disappearing down Cornish mine shafts without the fear of an Ofcom retribution. I remember those days. The background to my confession involves a relatively sheltered childhood. We were a Middle England, middle-class family where rules were rules. If you went out to play, you'd better be home before the streetlights came on. If you wanted to go to the youth club disco, you had to be back home before it finished, or you weren't allowed to go the following week. You get the picture. I was envious of the freedoms my friends enjoyed with more liberal parents. I was always the first to leave any gathering, usually on the pretense of having to get up early the following morning for a paper round. Well, eventually, me and my friends all reached the age of drinking consent. And celebrating our 18th birthdays, Father Simon, I was never able to call myself a big drinker. But peer pressure being what it was to an impressionable young man, it was important to carry the pretense that you could be toe-to-toe with everyone else. Always drink responsibly, obviously, is the name of this confession.
Yeah.
What I needed were tactics to ensure my lesser consumption was unnoticed. After all, Mum would still be waiting up for me when I got home to make sure I was able to hold a coherent conversation before she retired to bed.
Uh-huh.
Over the early drinking years, I developed different tactics so as not to alert my mates to being more than one glass behind. In bars, my beer of choice was a smaller bottle with lower alcohol. Baldrick would have been proud of my plan. Nightclubs were much easier. I would just wait for some great 80s classics and hit the dance floor, leaving my drink behind, never to return. Pot plants in restaurants would get an additional watering straight from the bottle too. Now, shortly afterwards came the day to which my confession relates, which is specifically the 5th of December, 1991. A small group, Matthew, that's me, Mark, Luke and John, my friends.
Okay.
Together with Luke's girlfriend, a.k.a. the designated driver, headed off to Sheffield City Hall for a gig. Not any old gig, but an up-and-coming band with a number one album in the charts.
Not knowing the city very well and Luke's girlfriend unwilling to leave her car in any old side street, we arrived at the venue with just 30 minutes to spare. Showed our tickets, had the perforated strip removed, and in we went, heading straight towards the busy bar. I was confident that with just half an hour of drinking time, there'd be no need to display any of the skills honed over the years for discarding drinks or missing rounds. I was one of the boys tonight, with no waiting up for my return. That was until the rounds of Dutch beer started.
Oh.
Half-litre bottles and rather strong... I think so. I think you know what you're talking about. Well, with a spinning head, slightly wobbly legs, and little aptitude left to realise I just consumed a week's worth of beer in half an hour, we headed into the stalls. We were walking down the central aisle when the lights went out, the signal for those on the front row to stand up and run to the stage, followed by others from further back. Well, I wasn't going to pass this opportunity up, and I ran to the front myself, ending up five or six deep from the front. Simon and the band were amazing. I was buzzing from the beer, and the hits just kept on coming. All the words had been learnt, we sang along with the crowd. Midway through the gig, demonstrating skills from the terraces, I had managed to worm my way to the second row back, with just a group of young girls at the front. I had the perfect, unrivaled view. At this point, the lead singer, having the crowd in the palm of his hand, was working the front row, briefly shaking hands with the screaming girls and adoring fans as he went. What happened next has stayed with me until this day. The lead singer, half crouching in front of me, taking the hand of a girl as he sang, and for reasons unknown, I leapt forward over the heads of the girls and grabbed not his hand, but the singer's ankle.
What?
And before either of us realised what was happening, I fell backwards. The momentum was taking me back. That's not the way momentum works, but anyway. My body weight shifted, carrying me back from whence I came, still holding the lead singer ankle tightly. As my feet grounded again, the lead singer flew over my head. With amazing dexterity, he landed safely back in row five or six of the standing crowd, where Mark, Luke and John stood with their mouths open. The crowd in the lower... and upper circles were off their feet in delight as the lead singer hardly missed a beat and clambered back on stage and finished the song and the gig with renewed vigour. What a star he is.
What a star. Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I was a picture of never sobered up so quickly in my life. Fortunately, the lighting rigs focused on the stage, not the crowd, so the bouncers had no idea who was to blame for hoiking the lead singer off the stage. And they were looking at each other, perplexed and not sure what on earth was going on and whether it was deliberate or not. The following day, I got a phone call from my bemused mother, checking in to see that I had had a good time. She relayed a story she'd seen that lunchtime whilst watching Pebble Mill at One. The lead singer from the evening before had been interviewed prior to that night's gig in Birmingham when he referenced the particularly raucous crowd in Sheffield the night before. Well, what were the chances of that? Father Simon, I need to seek forgiveness, not from my mum. If she'd been more relaxed in my formative drinking years, I might have been able to hold my beer. But I do need forgiveness from Ricky Ross, lead singer of Deacon Blue, for potentially putting his safety at risk and jeopardising the rest of the tour. I would like to think that maybe I helped hone his stagecraft in the early days in preparation for the larger venues that he went on to perform in, but suspect that won't wash. With Sister Susie. Well, we're gonna check that out right now, Sister Susie. What do you say to Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew, it doesn't wash with me, really. That's just all I'm going to say is danger, danger. There could have been serious injury happening. The tour could have been cancelled and it would all because of you and you can't handle your drink properly.
Yes.
So you should have thought about that. I think you lost your dignity, so I'm not going to forgive.
Yes, you can't mishandle a superstar. What do you say, Brother Matthew?
Well, I'm going to forgive because, he'd had a little bit to drink and he couldn't handle his beer and he was honest enough about that, wasn't he? And, these things happen at gigs. Well, they shouldn't happen at gigs. It's not a great idea to be pulling the lead singer of a band into the crowd.
No.
But, when the muse takes you, then, what are you going to do? And if I know Ricky Ross at all, I know that he'd absolutely be forgiving as well as me. So for all those reasons,
yes,
I'm going to forgive.
Okay, so we've heard from Susie, heard from Matt. Ricky Ross, what do you say?
Oh dear.
Well, Simon, I have very interesting, very interesting. I'm currently still resting the ankle. It's up. It was out of traction last week, so
yes.
I think I've moved. I've moved on, I'll be honest with you. I don't recall the incident.
Do you know? Oh no, right.
I'm telling you, it's the fifth of December, 1991. It's Sheffield. How can you forget?
Well, hold on. I'm going to get my diary. Hold on a second.
Yes.
The 5th of December. Oh, yes, right enough. Yes. Was pulled in the curse. Listen, you know, we've all been there.
Yes.
A little bit of exuberance. And I think that I think I've managed to survive. And the only thing I'm doubting is that the names Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes.
I'm feeling a little bit. Yeah. Anyway.
Sounds familiar.
That aside, I forgive.
That's very good. And if you're going to see Deacon Blue on their next tour, which starts when?
Starts this Friday in Liverpool.
Starts this Friday, then please, on behalf of Ricky Ross and the rest of the band, don't grab any of the stars on stage and grab them and pull them into the crowd. Would that be right?
We're 30 odd years older, so I think my dexterity and my recoverability is not as good.
All right. Ricky, thanks very much. Have a great gig.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you. All right. Forgiveness from Ricky Ross
himself.
Well,
there you go. Wow.
How about that? Doesn't get any better than that.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
The only problem with having Ricky on there is that it's always nice to have him on the show, is that it kind of raises the bar. So
it
the next time there's a celebrity involved
yeah,
in a confession, we can't guarantee to get hold of them.
No.
Even though the contacts book is a good one.
It is a very good one.
But anyway, and that was a lovely thing. Plus also, Susie mentioned this and I never pressed the button.
Danger!
Yeah.
Hey, Voltage.
What's that?
Hey, Voltage.
Yes. Michael Howard there in his rock band. Anyway, that's fantastic to get Ricky Ross on. That's pretty much it. Oh, People's Verdict. Yeah, we got this as well.
And Maria in London says, I love this confession. Hilarious. I remember reaching out and touching Peter Gabriel's hand back in the 80s. I can't imagine how or why you'd go for the ankle. But if Ricky forgives, then I guess I will too.
I think that's fair enough. We have another mini confession from Matthew. He added this to the end of his confession. P.S. If you read this out, I'll have to catch it on the 5-star podcast, as we always switch off the radio when it's time for the confession. Sorry, Simon, but you can't beat hearing them all together on the podcast. Well, that and also my tea's ready and Richard Osman's House of Games is on the television.
Oh, no.
Well, to be honest, you can record that.
You can record that.
Yeah, you can record that
and listen to us.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit disappointed, I have to say. Anyway, he still gets the smart speaker because that's the way it works. Wraps up another week of confessions. If you've been inspired by any of them, please do send in your own. confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's incredible secret code phrase.
And the code phrase for this week is Christopher Biggins is Caligula. Christopher Biggins is Caligula.
With a question mark.
With a question mark, yeah.
That's okay. There's a lot of writing.
I like the spelling.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo or Threads on Threads, or you can post it to me on Blue Sky, or you can just call in at reception and leave it in an envelope. Mark it for the attention of Susie. Thank you.
Yeah.
Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the shower and leave us a glowing 5-star review. We'd like to stay the best podcast in the world, which we only can due to the fact that you're listening, which makes us so treasurable.
That is so true.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Back next week with another bunch of confessions. Until then, from the pub/studio, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the gutter, Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye.
Holly would say something about see you later, alligator, or something. Is that what
she
says?
Or sing. Sometimes she sings, doesn't she? Yeah,
that kind of thing. Anyway, thank you very much for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.